It's an amazing discovery.
Or is it?
Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelich.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Barry, as always. Your voice is sounding a little bit better, so hopefully you are on the mend.
It's coming and going.
There was some doubt about that earlier, I think, like last night. We weren't real sure you were going to be feeling too well, but today you sound a little bit better. I think this is going to be an interesting topic. This is something I've paid attention to for a little while, and I've always been highly skeptical of this for reasons that I laid out last week when you were not with me on, for instance, the Mars rover and the constant claims that something that points to life has been found. And of course, they never find life. They just find building blocks and sidelong clues and all that kind of stuff that are actually more easily explained it by, as something else, and NASA's kind of infamous for that. So
when you're trying to give a reason for why the taxpayers should fund more of your billions of dollars of research, you come up with a lot of things. Well, Chuck, this is one kind of takes the cake, okay? This is from an article in Fox News on December the 9th, and it's entitled The Next Earth, Seven Possibly Habitable Worlds Identified. So it's an amazing discovery, Chuck. There's seven worlds out there that we could inhabit. Well, possibly, maybe. I'm not sure. They use terms like potentially habitable to life, possibly habitable to life. We're not really sure, but what we've done is we've created this little checklist, scientists have, to say what's necessary for a habitable planet. And now we're out there creating this catalog. It's called the Habitable Exoplanet Catalog. Now, it's a listing online, Chuck, that Abel Mendez, who is a researcher who started this, they started listing planets that they found that meet their criteria that they believe that life would be possibly able to be sustained upon. Now, Mendez is the director of the University of Puerto Rico at Arecibo's Planetary Habitability Laboratory. That means, Chuck, lots and lots of money, most likely taxpayer money of some sort, if not private foundation money, is being dumped in so Abel Mendez can get online and list planets that they think, oh, we might be able to find life on. Sort of like what they say about Mars, I guess.
Well, here's what's interesting. I have gone out to, and I will post a link to, since everybody will want to see this for themselves, the Planetary Habitability Laboratory's website, which is basically the Habitable Exoplanets Catalog. And they have here what purport to be current potential habitable exoplanets, and they show them in relationship to their size. There's a picture of Earth here and a picture of Mars. And then they have all these seven planets that are current potential habitable exoplanets. Barry, every one of these things is huge.
Like a gas giant?
Yes.
Well, the one thing I think we do know, Chuck, is that a gas giant probably is not going to have certain features that are absolutely necessary for life, one of which is probably being water.
This points out, and I'm going to be quite honest, I think this is exceedingly disingenuous, and I'll tell you why. I'm looking at this thing, and there are supposed pictures of these seven current potential habitable exoplanets. And I'll be quite honest, I do not believe that we have the capability of photographing bodies of this size from this distance. In fact, I'm fairly certain we can't even see the rim of a star from this distance that we're talking about. I think that basically these are mock-ups. Now, guess what? Nowhere is anything like that said. And unless astronomy has advanced by years and years and years, we can't actually see these things. And yet, here they are. Here are pictures of these things that are hundreds of light years away.
Well, and you, like you said, there are seven that are listed in this Habitable Exoplanets Catalog. There's also 27 other candidate planets that are waiting for inclusion in that catalog. Now, they use three different measures in order to allow one of these exoplanets, as they call them, to be included in the list. The first thing is the variability of energy from the host star that the planet receives. So the more variable the energy pulse from the star is, the less likely you're going to have a habitable planet, because things would get fried. It would, like, the Earth having solar flares pointed at it that were like massive coronal ejections constantly, you know, firing off at willy-nilly.
Well, think it more in terms of this. If the sun suddenly brightened by twice its luminosity over a short period.
Yes.
And then went back to its original luminosity. And these are astronomical terms, and it's the only way really to speak of it in shorthand. So let's just say suddenly the sun was putting out twice the energy it normally puts out. What would happen to the Earth?
It'd fry it.
It'd fry. We would be fried.
First pulse, we're done.
Now, Barry, what makes me always suspicious of this stuff? I'll be quite honest with you. When I was a kid, I was heavily into planets, the potential of life, and blah, 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 blah. One of the things that I was always told was that the Earth was in the middle of the quote-unquote potential life belt.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that vaguely, yes.
And, man, I mean, I used to take the books home from the library. I read way ahead of my level in school, so they'd let me check out books from, like, the junior high level when I was fourth grade. So I would check these books out and read them, and I'd be, oh, this is going to be so cool. Venus was supposed to be able to have life on it, and Mars was supposed to be. And in fact, they were telling us that Mars was so close to the Earth that, you know, it's almost exactly the same. It's just like our sister planet. And the same thing with Venus. Well, we finally send an expedition to Venus, and what's the deal? They've got 900 times the atmospheric pressure we have, and their atmosphere is essentially sulfuric acid.
Right.
So, yeah, even the probes that we send last about 10 hours before they're completely burned up. And Mars is, of course, the other way around. It's freezing cold. There's no gravity. It's bathed in radiation from the sun because they don't have a magnetosphere. So the idea, as I explained last week, of there being life on Mars is sort of ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm looking at these planets on this catalog, and they go down through them. And one by one, they explain that, well, gosh, there's one here, planet Gliese.
581G. Yeah, I was looking at that. This, ladies and gentlemen, is an absolute wonderful textbook example of why we're wasting our tax dollars on this. So, because Gliese 581G is a quote-unquote potentially habitable planet that has been included on the list that the Habitable Exoplanet Catalog has there. But here's a little background about Gliese 581G. You see, a team of researchers supposedly found this planet that met their metrics, which was the variability of energy, the mass of the planet, and the planet size. Now, Chuck, according to what you said earlier, the vast majority of the things they've got up on that catalog are all basically gas giants. Well, bigger gas giants orbiting variable stars are less likely to host life than smaller rocky planets near stable stars, according to the research article. So here's Gliese 581G, and they had a research team that said, hey, we found it. It meets the criteria. Well, then another team took a look, and they couldn't find the planet. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
They were using different instruments, and so there's this debate. So Mendez, who is the manager of this, the lead researcher, Abel Mendez, there at the University of Puerto Rico in Arecibo, has said this is a tricky situation, but because we think that there's still the sense the planet could exist, we're including it. So that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that they're just possibly habitable exoplanets. It's that they're possibly exoplanets to start with.
But Barry, if you look at this habitable exoplanet, it has a picture, which they are purporting is of the planet itself, of Gliese 581G, and gee, it looks awfully Earth-like. Now, I'm going to be quite honest. I really think that this has to be a mock-up. I don't think you can get a picture of a planet. Now, look, this planet is 2.6 Earth masses, which means essentially that I'd weigh about 625 pounds on this planet.
Right.
So I would not do well there. It has a 1.4 Earth radii, which means it's 1.4 times the size of the Earth. It has a surface temperature of 10 degrees C. Well, 10 C is not very warm. Now, I don't know if that's an average temperature or a temperature at the equator. They're all estimated values, and they're all in the Extrasolar Planet Encyclopedia. Now, it says it's 20.2 light years away and supposedly 8 billion years old. Again, how they know this, Barry, is, I'm quite honest.
Since we're not,
it's spe-
since we're not even sure the planet exists, it's okay to make up whatever we want to say about it, Chuck.
That's what I'm saying here. This really looks like just the most imaginary speculation you can imagine. This is like asking a child to describe to you a dream he's had, and he goes into these wild machinations about the things that he sees, or asking some kid and he's talking about dragons and flying things and all kinds of weird stuff. That's almost what this looks like. Now, they've actually got a, what I think is probably the picture of the star that this is actually orbiting. And frankly, all you can see is a bright blob in the distance. I don't believe that this is this planet. Now, again, I'm not going to state equivocally that they're not getting these photographs, but I don't think so. I'm going to have to be quite honest. I really just don't think that they can get pictures like this. They've got credits on them. They say they're NASA so-and-so, and they've got the sky map out here. Here's another one, 4.9 Earth masses, Earth radii 1.9. That is a very dense planet. If you think about it, it's twice the radius of the Earth, but it's five times its mass. And again, now, this one actually has a very habitable temperature on the surface, 27 degrees Celsius. Well, Barry, that's a nice temperature. That's not bad. That's in the 80s.
Sure.
The problem being that it orbits its sun in 28 days, so it's got a 28-day long year, which seems unlikely. It's 23.6 light years away, but it's less than 2 billion years old. Again, how do we know this? The answer is we don't.
No.
Well, this is all speculation.
Well, Chuck, of course it is. And Mendez even so much as, well, I guess not directly, but admits it indirectly. Because he says, the article says that Mendez cautions that the information is preliminary. Most of what we know about exoplanets comes from a simple physical assessment. Well, I don't think you can physically assess the age of a planet that's 23 light years away from where you're observing it. So much less, read next to nothing, is known about chemical and biological information. And they basically gets down to it. I just created this catalog, this database to help with my research, and people seem to like it. So, but then he also cautions, again, he's very much a, shall we say, non-committal type of person. He says a true Earth analog or a potentially habitable exomoon would be big discoveries. You notice the term would be? In other words, we've really not discovered any. We're just making some guesses as to things we'd like to say could.
Well, Barry, you and I have both seen a movie, and we've shown it at Camp American, and that is...
A Privileged Planet.
And the fact is, well, actually, most of these planets look like they're also in the privileged zone, because most of them are within 20 light years, 23 light years. So there's one here that's 500 light years away. But that puts them somewhere in the habitable zone, because in a galaxy, the habitable zone in a galaxy, according to the Privileged Planet, is on one of the outer arms, way out, which is where the Earth is. The Earth is in one of the outer arms, way out on the edge of the galaxy. And in fact, it's in a specific area. It's not too close to the center of the galaxy where radiation would kill us. It's out in a place where there's enough gas and those kinds of things to shield us from different things going on. The stars are more young out here than they are toward the center. They're all older. There's all kinds of things for the reason why the Earth is habitable, and the number of actual habitable planets is actually very small. Potential habitable planets, let's put it that way. And
sure.
It looks to me, Barry, gravity is one of the things. Liquid water is absolutely necessary. You know, the temperature on the surface is absolutely necessary. Again, an iron core really is necessary if you're going to shield that planet from its radiation from its sun. It's the right kind of sun. It really, in order to support life properly, a planet would have to be like our sun, sort of yellow or orange in color, and about the same size as our sun, which means it would be a very difficult sun to detect, a very difficult star, because our sun is kind of boring. If you were an astronomer and you were looking out through the universe and looking for really cool things, you'd pass right by our sun because it's boring. There is virtually nothing going on. Now, it's spectacular to us because we're sitting here circling it, and it's rather important to us. And so anytime it burps, we can tell. But as for being an astronomical wonder, no, it's not. Well, Barry, you know what? We're out of time.
Okay.
I just looked at the clock. Let's just say that this looks like a lot of hoopla over very little. And while it is scientifically, it's really cool, especially for those of us who've studied this kind of thing for years. Please stop telling us it's potentially habitable by life, because the chances are it isn't. So it's one thing to say maybe, it's another thing to say, wow, how likely is it? And the answer is not very. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.